Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are so good to us. Thank you that you are worthy of such praise, and that you receive praise from us. Who are we to worship you? You're so great. You're so awesome. Thank you for your love, your forgiveness, your grace. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for just all that you've done in our lives and all that you want to do. May we lay hold of that purpose for which you've laid hold of us. May you receive the glory tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's something in a person that causes you to want to be recognized and remembered. In the scriptures we see this, whether good or evil. We have Nebuchadnezzar and his 90-foot image of himself made out of gold. We have Absalom who carved his own grave, his tomb out of stone, which remains to this day. You have people that when they do a painting, they'll sign their name on it. You have tombstones to remember who was buried where. The dying thief on the cross says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." There's something in us that wants to be remembered, to make an impact, to make a difference. And God, he instituted memorials throughout the scriptures, especially with the Jews, with their feast days, the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles. Even in the ephod that the high priest wore, there was all this symbolic stuff to bring to mind things. The 12 stones that they carried out of the Jordan to remind them that they passed over on dry land. And Monday we celebrated Memorial Day, a day set aside to remember the fallen who have served the country so valiantly and who have died that we might have freedom. And no one needs to tell us that we have a propensity to forget. We forget. That's why post-it notes exist, because we forget. We set aside days for certain reasons, and then we forget why we did that. You know, you get confused between Veterans Day and Memorial Day, and what's the difference? But there is a difference, of course. But we forget. That's why God reminds us. So please turn your Bibles to Matthew 26, starting in verse 6. Before his crucifixion, during the Passover meal, Jesus instituted what we commonly call the Lord's Supper, where you partake bread and wine, the bread symbolizing his broken body, the wine symbolizing his shed blood for the sins of the world, instituting the new covenant of his blood. And Jesus entreats his disciples, he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And Paul says, whenever you do this, you're reminded of the Lord's death. Proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. It is so significant to be remembered. Just think about yourself. If you tell someone your name and they remember your name the first time they see you again, that means something. Someone that remembers your birthday, that's not your family member, or someone that remembers your anniversary, who's not related to you, that's pretty cool. It makes you go, "Wow, you remembered. I can't believe that." It's special to be remembered, and it blesses our Lord and Savior when we remember him. He is worthy to be remembered. And tonight we're going to look at the story of Jesus being anointed in Bethany by Mary, the sister of Lazarus, whom Jesus rose from the dead. In all four Gospels, there's a mention of Jesus being anointed with oil. The Luke account is very different from the rest because of the topics discussed by the people present. The people present are different. And the chronological placement is a little different. And there's evidence to suggest that the Luke account is a different account than the other three in Matthew, Mark, and John. But instead of focusing on the fact that it may be a different event, we're going to look at the anointing at Bethany because there's a lot of collaboration between the three Gospels days before the death of Christ on the cross. So let's read this passage together starting in Matthew 26, verse 6. "And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, What this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." So Jesus is gathered together with his followers in the house of Simon the leper, a man that he had cured from leprosy, it is believed. And John tells us that Lazarus was also present, happening in Bethany. That was their hometown, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So Lazarus, risen from the dead. Simon was a leper. So before we move on into the actual anointing, let's consider this unlikely gathering of people. You have Simon, who was a leper, and now he's cured. You have Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days and was brought back to life. And then you have Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin, sinless. It's quite a gathering of people. And we see the effect that Jesus brings to humanity. We who were under the curse of sin, it clung to us like a disease. We have been freed from it. And we who were dead in our trespasses and sins have been made alive to God. Simon, because he was a leper, he was isolated from fellowship. He couldn't gather together with other people. He was ostracized because of his illness. And it was the same for us. We were far from God because of sin. But Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Because of sin and sickness, Lazarus had been deprived of life. He lay in the ground for 4 days in the tomb until Jesus called his name and said, "Come forth." And Ephesians 2:1, it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." God is so merciful. His grace is so sufficient. And praise him for the gospel, that we who were dead can be made alive. We who were blind can see. We who were enslaved and enchained in sin can be free. Set free from all that. Praise him. Verse 6. Let's read this again. "And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table." So Jesus is sitting at the table, and Mary comes and she breaks the flask and she pours it on his head. She pours it on his feet. And we think, that's strange. I don't know how I would feel about that if I was sitting down, someone invited me over, and I'm sitting there, and someone pours oil on my head, pours oil on my feet. Matthew Henry says this. He says, "This among us would be a strange sort of compliment, but it was then accounted the highest piece of respect." So it was a sign of respect and adoration. It was a sign, the pouring on of oil. It was very expensive oil that she poured. It was called spikenard, about the cost of a year's wages for a common laborer. And it's hard for me to put that in perspective. I Googled wages. What's the average wage in America? In 2006, it was $42,000. So to put that in perspective, she breaks open a $42,000 flask of oil and she pours it on his head. She dumps it all out. It's amazing. It's very significant. Lazarus died, and she didn't dump it on her brother. She saved it for Jesus. She didn't save anything for her own burial. That's why she may have had it. She dumped it all on Jesus. She poured it all out to the last drop. And what was the reaction in the room? Verse 8, "But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor.'" So despite Mary's great gift, everyone is indignant. They're kind of miffed by this misuse of this valuable oil. The word here for waste, like why this waste, it's in my Greek, it's not very good, but it's apolia, which means ruin, loss, or destruction. Why this loss? Why this destruction? Why are you just pouring it all out? You know, she didn't use customary olive oil. They're thinking, that's good enough. That's a great enough honor. But this is over the top. This could have been used for something. But the question I want to ask is, was it a waste? Before you go, of course not. It was Jesus. Think about it. Just think about it. Would you consider that a waste? Would you go up to someone and give them $42,000, watch them burn it up, and say, oh, that wasn't a waste? I mean, try to put it in perspective if possible. It's been just amazing as I've been thinking about it. Remember the story in 2 Samuel 23 where David, he longs out loud, oh, that I could have a drink from the well in Bethlehem. Three men, Adino, Eleazar, and Shammah, when they hear David say this, David did not ask, because to get to Bethlehem, you had to go through a Philistine garrison. So these three guys, they fight to get to Bethlehem, and they bring him back water from the well. And what does David do? He's like, you guys brought this to the death. You almost paid for this with your blood. This is like your life. And he poured it out to the Lord. Was that a waste? Was all that effort going to and from a waste when he poured it out on the ground to the Lord? No, because it was done for the glory of God. Why do you think those three men were David's most valiant men? They just demonstrated why. Because they loved their leader. Do we want to be valiant men and women for God? Do we want to be known as God's valiant people? I certainly do. Mary was not only willing to pour out something precious to her, but she poured out her life in worship. Let's move to verse 10. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. So Jesus says, no, this is not a waste. She did this for a reason. She did this for my burial. John talks about Judas, the one that kept the money bag. He was a thief, and he was the one that said, hey, why wasn't this sold that we could give money to the poor? See, under the guise of service, some serve themselves, and that was Judas. He was happy to look good, like he's doing good work. He's caring about the poor, but he didn't care about the poor. He only cared for himself. He was the one that kept the money. See, time after time, Jesus told his disciples, I am going to die. I am going to be delivered to be crucified. I am going to be delivered to the Gentiles. I am going to be scourged. I am going to die. I am going to rise from the dead. And that's Matthew 16:21. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. There's four or five times mentioned that in the scriptures, in Matthew, before this, where Jesus said, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise from the dead. Mary is the one who understands that he's going to die, because right after Jesus says this in Matthew 16:21, Peter says, oh no, Jesus, you don't have to die. That's when Jesus replies with, get behind me, Satan. So they were reluctant to understand what Jesus was saying, but Mary got it. She was preparing him for his burial. No good work done for Jesus is wasted. It's never a waste to serve Jesus. I find it ironic that the disciples were whining about this great gift that was given to Jesus. 1 pound of spikenard poured over his head. Yet after he dies, what happens? Nicodemus brings 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes to anoint his body after he's dead. I've been to many funeral services where there's many kind words said that I don't know if they were ever said to the deceased. How many times have we sent flowers to someone because they're mourning, but not because we're blessed to be their friend? And how many times have I cried over a grave of a loved one whom I didn't cry over when they were alive, and I was just so happy to know them and to talk to them? That's sometimes how we are. I remember when my uncle passed away, I wrote a poem. And poetry was something I used to do to kind of think, to find where my feelings were. And I wrote a poem for Uncle Joe. But when Uncle Joe was alive, I didn't write him a poem. It took him dying for me to say, this guy deserves something. He deserves my love. He deserves my affection. He deserves to be remembered. And see, Mary's doing it before he dies. Which one did Jesus appreciate? Well, the one that he could receive. Sure, he appreciated the other as well, because he knows all things. But I want to encourage you to let people know how much you love them. Tell them how much you love them. I find I am very poor in this area. That there's people in my life that mean a lot to me, but I don't bother to really tell them because it's just assumed that I love them and I care about them or I appreciate them. But take the time to love one another, to speak kindly to one another, to encourage one another while they're alive, because you only have so long. Share your love while you can. Let's remember Mary's example. Verse 13, "Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." And as I read this, it just captured my mind and my heart. This woman has an everlasting legacy that wherever the gospel is preached, what she did would be told as a memorial to her. I was thinking about that. Wow. In all my sharing of the gospel, I thought, I've never mentioned this passage. And Jesus isn't saying that whenever you preach the gospel, you have to mention Mary in it. It's not what he's saying. But he's saying that her act is a selfless act of love, faith, and adoration. She's demonstrating through her actions what Christ did when he went to the cross for sinful flesh. She is a living testimony of the gospel, of that great love. Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." If she would have had 100 pounds of spikenard, I have no doubt she would have poured it all out. She would have given it all for Jesus. Mary did not do good works to be remembered by Jesus, but she did good works because she loved him. She passionately loved Jesus. And we too, we should labor not that we would be remembered by God, but because we remember him. Because we remember the love that Jesus has poured out on us through his sacrifice and through his example. Our life is a testimony of his love, because he is now living his life out through us. Some may look at the good works God has called Christians to and become indignant, even Christians. Like, why are you quitting your career to do that? Now, what about this? Aren't you planning for retirement? What about your burial? Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their dead." And you preach the gospel. In Luke 9:60. "But you go and preach the kingdom of God." And as that fragrant oil was poured out for the sake of Christ, so ought we to be poured out for the sake of the gospel. We ought to be emptied. As Jesus was emptied of his blood on the cross, we sang that today, that his blood was shed for our sins, so we must be poured out completely for God's glory, for his sake. We have to be careful not to use what is precious for our own uses. It's a great temptation. I was thinking about a common vacation question. Like, what do you want to do? Where do we want to go? Wouldn't it be more fitting to say, what does God want us to do? Where does God want us to go? It could be something as simple as that. Mary could have saved this oil for her own burial, but she saw fit to use it. And so ought we to be used by God, to use what we have, be it a lot, be it a little, whatever we have, to use it for his glory. The giver of life was poured out like water on the cross, and we ought to be poured out as Mary's gift of oil. Very precious in the sight of God. He said, "This is a good work. Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? I'm on her side. She's doing the right thing. She gets it." 2 Corinthians 2:15, it says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." No matter where you were in that house, that fragrant oil could be smelled. It said throughout the house, you could smell the odor of the perfume. And during a trip to Israel I bought a small amount of spikenard. It's Nard is what they call it now. But it's, and you guys can come up and smell it if you want. I was always kind of curious what it smelled like, so here it is if you want to smell it. But it was explained to us that what people would commonly do is they'd take a precious oil that's very fragrant, and they would actually mix it with other oil. You'd have olive oil, and you'd add a very small amount of this nard to it to make it all have a scent. It wouldn't be as strong, but it would make it last longer, and you could, you know, it's a cheaper prospect. I mean, 42 grand for a 1 pound is pretty steep. I don't know about you, but for me, that's pretty steep. One thing that I love about Jesus, he's an all-or-nothing guy. He went all the way. He did not hold back. And Mary's like that. She broke it. She didn't just bore a little hole that she could maybe stuff a little paper in later so she could save some. She didn't pour a little and go, okay, that's enough. I mean, this stuff's pretty expensive. She just busted it and just poured it out. She didn't dilute it. She didn't try to make it look like it was a lot more than it was. She just, this is what I have. It's precious and it's yours. And she poured it on him. No matter what others say or what they're saying to her, how they're trying to make her feel, Jesus is all that matters to her. And so it should be with us. Jesus is the one who matters. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, 24, 25. Matthew 16, 24, 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." If we want to follow Jesus, then we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Notice you must lay down your will before you can take up the cross. You have to deny yourself first, and then you take up the cross. And Jesus did this in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." And what really grabbed my attention is the word here for lose. If you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. That word is actually a very similar word from the word waste that we had talked about. Why this waste? This word is apoleme, which is the word from where waste is derived. So the word lose is almost exactly the same word as to waste. So here comes the question. Are you willing to waste and destroy your life for Jesus? Are you willing to be poured out completely for the glory of God? That's a good word. The Jews said, "How can we do the works of God?" He said, "Believe on him whom he has sent. Believe on me." From the world's perspective, Jesus, his life was one that was tragically cut short. Yet he was no martyr because he died for the very people who killed him. He died for the sins of all the world. And when people look at the life of a Christian, they smell the fragrance of Christ, and to some it's a terrible smell, but to God a sweet savor. It's very precious in God's sight. Just like Mary's gift was seen a waste, people in the world can see Christianity as a waste. It's unfortunate, it's tragic. But the enemy has blinded many eyes that they will not see the truth, though you hold it to them. Jesus, they didn't believe him when he said, "I'm the Son of God." They believed he was demon-possessed. It's unthinkable. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life, as John 14, 6 says. Jesus says, being a Christian, that's not a waste. That's a good work. Nothing done for me is wasted. So because of her great love and faith in Christ, Mary's great work, her sacrifice, lives on. How do you want to be remembered? If you had to say, how do I want to be remembered? You know, what am I going to put on my tombstone? Will I even have a tombstone? Consider, is your life being poured out daily as an offering before God? I think we'd all love to say yes. but we are fallible and human and fleshly at times. I'm sure that Mary wished she could have done more. Do you guys ever feel like that? It's like, I've given all I can give today, but I wish I could give more because God deserves better. God deserves the best. Is being poured out for God's glory the deepest longing in your heart? Because that's God's will for you, that you would be poured out for Him, that you'd be used up, that your life would be wasted in the sight of the world, that it would be just destroyed for His glory, that everything that you do, everything that you say would be to glorify Him, to praise Him, to point to Him, to say, this is my Savior. He is awesome. He is powerful. What love. So let us not waste Mary's example of being of sacrifice and of giving. Sometimes we can look at our 1 pound of oil, that's not even spikenard, and say, well, there's people that could give 100 pounds. But don't let that stop you from pouring it all out to Him. Don't let that stop you from allowing God to use you right where He has you. Because God has a purpose for your life, that He would be glorified, that He would be lifted up, that no matter where your sphere of influence is, that His name would be praised and exalted. So may we be broken. May we be poured out. May God use us to the full. And may we bring glory to His name. Let's pray. Father, we consider it a great joy to be utterly poured out for You. Please teach us what that means. Lord, we don't know. But we want to serve You. From what we know and what You revealed to our hearts, we know that You are true. We know that You are awesome and mighty, that You love us so much, and we want to return that love. Thank You, Father. Thank You so much for Jesus. Thank You for salvation, and thank You for the gospel. May we be poured out for Your sake. Please use us. Go before us, protect us, and I pray that You would continue to minister to our hearts, Lord, that You would reveal to us Your truth, and that we would know that You're God. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.